It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer, the only podcast for Notre Dame fans by Notre Dame fans. If you're looking for cogent analysis and unbiased opinions backed by careful reporting, you've come to the wrong place. For the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get a fan's perspective on the Fighting Irish without all the normal spin from the so-called professional analysts. It's Dome and Domer. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer.
My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me tonight, Ed Jordanic, as always, and from NDNation.com, Mike Coffey. Ed, I'm going to start with you because, unfortunately, Coffey and I whiffed last week. We both thought it was going to be a close game, and surprisingly, several of our listeners who actually posted on our website were like, you guys are crazy, it's going to be a blowout, and lo and behold, it was a blowout. So the big question to you is, would you have projected a blowout going into last week's game?
Boy, it's kind of interesting how much hype Navy got going into this game, right? I mean, we heard a lot about Malcolm Perry. We heard a lot about their new defensive coordinator and how much how improved they were.
They were 21st in the nation and leading the country in rushing. So, there was a lot of hype going into it. That's what really scared me.
I think probably the thing that sort of stuck out, though, was really, you know, the one game that they lost to Memphis was really the only team that looked like of any sort of stature on there. And I don't know if they had any close, you know, they really, to make a long story short, I expected it. I felt really good about Notre Dame after Duke. They seemed to play with a little bit more of a freedom, a little bit more of a swagger. They seemed to sort of have gotten over their Michigan blues. Obviously, that game-winning drive against Virginia Tech really took a weight off of their shoulders. Obviously, to me, it was sort of one of those things where, you know, could Notre Dame start fast? I mean, that's always the key, right, to Navy. And, of course, not only did Notre Dame start fast, Navy put the ball on the ground a couple times. So, Notre Dame should beat Navy every single time just based on sort of, you know, athletic ability and recruiting prowess and the kind of, but things have to sort of play out a certain way. You can't kind of put yourself in a position where they start believing and they get, you know, you get behind the chains and but I personally think that, you know, Brian Kelly / Clark Lee have now sort of cracked the code that the triple option is not the threat that it once was to Notre Dame and its coaching staff. Notre Dame obviously has the athletes to combat it if they get the schematic adjustments and practice in correctly. And that's the key, right? If you can even slow Navy down and keep them from the second and two, 13-yard plays on first down, you know, the fullback dot, you know, all that stuff. Notre Dame should win, and that's exactly what happened. And you combine that with the fact that, you know, they have nobody that can handle Claypool. They have nobody that can handle Komet, even though he didn't really do anything. And Ian Book is playing with more confidence and sort of whipping the ball around. And, it just snowballed. So it was really encouraging. I would sign me up for no more sellouts if that's the way Notre Dame's going to play.
Yeah, exactly. If it all ends that way, who cares? Coffey, back over to you. I think it one of the interesting things that I saw Saturday, which was a really good sign, is I want to point to three throws that Book made. Obviously, the two deep balls, one to Lindsey and one to Claypool. You really couldn't have thrown those two balls any better than he did. And that's been a little bit of a knock on Book, you know, that he's kind of doesn't really throw a good deep ball. But boy, I mean, both of those throws were absolutely picture perfect. But then also he had a throw where he was flushed out of the pocket, kind of went to his left, and then found Lawrence Keys on probably a pretty, I mean, at least 35 yards, if I remember right. But, I mean, it was a zip throw. I mean, he put a lot of mustard on that ball. Keys caught it and just barely dragged his foot in the ground. But I think those three throws were indicative of, you know, something a Book that, you know, really sheds pretty positive light on his abilities, number one, to throw it deep, but then number two, to also throw it when he needs to on a dart. And I don't know. I mean, that more than anything probably excited me the most watching that game.
No, we were talking last week about, and I was saying, you know, I really like this new grip it and rip it Ian Book. I mean, he's showing a lot more confidence. He's willing to put the ball out there, which I think the staff has really wanted him to do. I mean, you watch so many other quarterbacks who will put the ball where their receiver can get it, and they're not necessarily throwing to the guy who's open when they release the ball. They have confidence that their guy is going to be there and their guy is going to come down with it. And I think we're starting to see that level of confidence with Ian Book. Now, the interesting thing down the stretch of the season is, are we going to continue to see it? I think Boston College is a strictly mediocre football team. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised to see the exact same final score this Saturday as we saw last Saturday. Stanford's having an awful year with injuries, but they're still a decently coached and decently talented team, and that game is going to be on the road. And then they'll end up in a bowl somewhere, chances are, against someone from the Big 12. I've seen Iowa State mentioned, or Oklahoma State, which are not, granted it's not Oklahoma, but those teams are tremendous slouches, so to speak. So I'll be interested to see down the stretch, does this new confident Ian Book stay with us, and can he continue to make these plays against ever improving defenses, which if he can, that's going to show that's going to bode well for next year, hopefully.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And it's I think, look, Boston College has always been a tough out for us. I don't know why. Maybe it's the whole Catholic thing. But anyways, I don't really expect them to come in here and kind of lay flat. That's not going to happen. Their whole season rides on this just as much as Stanford does. You know, you're looking at two games now that have finished out the season, and both of these teams can make their entire season by beating us. So you're going to get the very best from them. But, you know, to Coffey's point, I mean, Boston College is pretty much one-dimensional. I mean, they got a running back who is definitely going to be in the pros. He's going to be there. He's got a lot of talent. But outside of that, if you shut him down, there's not a lot of threats from the Boston College side of the play. Stanford scares me a little bit, only because I think they're well-coached. I mean, I'm a big fan of Stanford's coach, and he's a good guy, David Shaw. But, you know, I just think that overall we should be able to, in the fourth quarter, overpower Boston College and take the game to where it needs to go and ultimately end up with the victory.
Well, besides being the sole member of the good guy David Shaw fan club, I think you make some good points. You know, BC obviously does not have a defense this year that I think, you know, it's not a top 50 defense, you know. And I think what we're seeing is a Notre Dame offense that's certainly, you know, is able to, you know, throw the ball to set up the run right now. You know, they've done that in the last couple of games. You know, they haven't needed, you know, they've sprinkled in runs from Book against Duke. They've thrown the ball vertically against Navy. It just seems to me that they're going to find something that works against Boston College and put points on the board. And I don't think that you outscore Notre Dame if you've got, you know, A.J. Dillon and not much else. I also think something to think about is what we're seeing here in November is the difference between sort of, you know, a team that's having a good year and a program, because Notre Dame is really starting to pile up the injuries. You know, you lose Hainsey, you lose Kramer, you know, Shane Simon, you've got Jack Lamb on the shelf. You know, obviously Crawford is back now, but you know, you've got some guys on the two deep that aren't going to play the rest of the year. Obviously, I didn't even mention Okwara, of course, and Dalen Hayes. You know, which are obviously, you know, you would think that it's Notre Dame and defensive end embarrassment of riches have never been heard in the same sentence since I can remember. So. that I think is, you know, a testament to Notre Dame's recruiting, Notre Dame's player development, Notre Dame's depth. And that's what gives them, puts them, you know, we're not really talking about those injuries, even though they're all significant, they're all frontline guys, and they're not going to play against Stanford or Boston College. And yet, you know, Notre Dame should win these two games. And I think they'll be, I think they're double digit favorites this Saturday. And, you know, if they beat Boston College convincingly, I think they'll probably be 2 touchdown favorites against Stanford, or at least, you know, 8 to 10 point favorites, I think. So, you know, credit the staff, credit the recruiting. That's how you win, you know, 10 games, 3 seasons in a row, by having guys who can step in when you have frontline guys that go down in November. And as we know, Notre Dame has struggled in November in the past. Notre Dame has struggled going out to Palo Alto. Notre Dame has struggled with BC, as you alluded to, Mike. And yeah, the stench of the Michigan game is going to stick with us for a long time. But they're really taking care of business these last two games. And that's encouraging. And, you know, we can hope that they get a quality opponent December 28th. It looks like Mike Coffey said, it'll be, you know, a Big 12 opponent in Orlando. But, you know, finishing out the season with five straight wins in convincing fashion, 6 straight wins after losing to Michigan, you know, that would be a real nice springboard into spring practice, and what's looking like another sort of run for the Roses in 2020.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Coffee, you know, to what Ed mentioned, I mean, there is something to be said for the number of injuries we've sustained. I mean, I mean, obviously, those are some big names that are not playing. And certainly has an impact on us. But to his point, it obviously says a lot about the coaching staff and what they've done in terms of recruiting, because we are a little bit more like two deep and deep as we've never been, you know, previously Brian Kelly. I mean, I don't want to harp on Tyrone Willingham or Bob Davie or whatever. But the point is that, you know, you lose guys like that and your chances of bouncing back are not good at all. But yet here we are with the effective, you know, display that we had against Navy, dominating them completely from the get-go. It says a lot about the coaching staff, about the program, where it's at the moment. And I kind of agree. I mean, I would like to see us. I mean, look, we all want us to play the very best in the bowl game. But even if it does come down to Orlando against the Oklahoma State team, if Notre Dame's able to go in there and win that game, I mean, that says a heck of a lot about the program, where it's at in terms of another 10-win season, you know, potentially 11 with the bowl win, and, you know, what we're up against in terms of, you know, recruiting and all that heading forward into next season.
No, I'd agree with that. I think recruiting definitely has improved. Even more important, though, I think the strength and conditioning program has improved. I mean, think of the number of times during the Weiss era and even at the beginning of Brian Kelly's time, the November fades where the team would just run out of gas and they'd lose games in November they really shouldn't lose because they were just completely fatigued and worn out from 11, 12 games worth of playing. I think of all the things that have happened at Notre Dame these past few years, modernizing the strength and conditioning program has probably been the most crucial, because I think it puts the players in position to win the games. And yeah, I know injuries have been bad this year, but as you said, the not only are the backups ready to play, but they're physically able to contribute, even the younger guys. So being able to take the field in a November game feeling not necessarily as fresh as you did in September, but of a hell of a lot more fresh than you did in previous Novembers, that's a key advantage, and that's something that I believe has served Notre Dame well, to be prepared in games like that.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that. Does Ed, I'm kind of curious. I don't know. I mean, it's early to sit here and say, like, oh, let's evaluate the 2019 season. We still got two games to play and big games at that. I mean, Boston College, I mean, as I said earlier, they are going to come at us with everything they got. Stanford the same. And we have kind of struggled with those two teams. I mean, it's not like there's great stories to tell about both Boston College and Stanford. But, you know, if it ends up being that we end up running the table and we get to a bowl game, and, you know, Notre Dame right now, at least for the 2019 class, is around 11th, 10th from what I saw. And then you've got a 2020 class that right now is pretty high up there. I mean, arguably, I think number one at the moment. But the point is that the program is headed in a huge right direction. You got to ask yourself, Brian Kelly's been in this for 10 years, which is not an easy thing to do at Notre Dame. We've all seen the difficulties in running the Notre Dame program. Not a lot of coaches last a lot longer than that. What are your expectations on what do you think is going to happen heading into the future here?
Well, you know, there's always stuff that happens around Notre Dame football in the off season, right? So number one is staff changes and what could happen there. You know, you hear different things. You hear some disillusion with the cornerback recruiting. Although it seems to me that the player development there, it seems like Tariq Bracey and Dante Vaughn are better players than they were last year. So you got to give Todd Light some credit for that, you know? We'll see. Maybe some guys will move on voluntarily. Maybe one or two guys will move on involuntarily. I mean, I've said for some time that, you know, I think that this is Brian Kelly's baby, and he gets to choose how to move on, how to retire, how to end his career. I think, it certainly seems like he wants to end his coaching career at Notre Dame now. It certainly seems like he wants to be in South Bend for some time to come. There's personal considerations there in terms of, you know, where he's living in town and where his daughter goes to school. She's at the university. It seems like, you know, Swarbrick is happy with his job performance. He's got a good young staff that seems to have a chemistry that he's really comfortable with, more than he's had before. But, you know, the apple cart can always get upset, right? I mean, there's always stuff that can happen, especially if, you know, Notre Dame ends the season on a high note offensively. I would think that Chip Long will get phone calls. I would think that Clark Lee's already getting phone calls. I would think that maybe Mike Elston will think maybe, you know, hey, it's finally time for me to take advantage of our success and take a head job somewhere. There's a lot of different things that could happen. And obviously player personnel is a big thing. There's a lot of big decisions coming up in the offseason, right? Gilman, and obviously Ian Book is the biggest one. And, you know, will Kevin Austin come back and sort of fill a hole that Chase Claypool is leaving? It sounds like the offensive line will return intact, but there's some pretty difficult injuries that have to be recovered from. It sounds like Cole Kmet is coming back, but could that change? Obviously, you know, people get in these guys' ears and they see some dollar signs and maybe baseball isn't as appealing. And so, you know, there's going to be a lot of stuff that happens, but it seems to me that the project that Brian Kelly undertook after 2016, whether it's a reevaluation of his style, whether it's a sort of a top to bottom reevaluation and overhaul of how he approaches his job and sort of the hiring, you know, the hiring that he's done and sort of the way that he relates to play, all those kinds of things, they seem to have obviously paid off and put the foundation in place for Notre Dame, at least in August of every year, to really walk the walk in terms of the talk. And the talk is always, we play for national championships. That's our ultimate goal. Our ultimate goal is to play in the national championship game and win that again for the first time in 30 years. And I think that that is probably going to continue to be the vibe that we get from Brian Kelly, the vibe that we get from these players and the staff. And, you know, you really like to hear things when you hear the coach say things like, this team likes to work. This team, I should have coached them harder, you know, before the Michigan game. They came to me after that game and said, push us. They like to play together. You know, you could tell on Saturday that they were enjoying the hell out of, of themselves. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of things about college football that we try and make pretty complex. But sometimes it really boils down to, you know, flying around the football, playing fast and loose, not playing like you feel like you're under a lot of pressure. And certainly this team is doing that right now. Again, they're, you know, 18 to 20 year old kids. They're going to have issues. Things are going to come up. But I don't know if that's the question you were asking me, but I don't know how you could make any other evaluation that the state of the program is strong. You know.
Right. No, you're exactly right. And I think you make some really good points. And look, I mean, the reality is what it is, right? We're from the 2016 reboot of Brian Kelly 2.0. I mean, you cannot at this very moment be upset with where we're at this stage. And I think that to overcome the injuries that we have, I mean, there's a bunch of injuries as well as what we're going to have to deal with coming this Saturday. I mean, it's not a full deck right there. Probably more injuries than a lot of other teams that have faced. But having said all that, I mean, the good news is the team has kind of embraced this. And like you said, there's something to be said to deal with the Navy team like they did and to dominate them like they did and to do it in a fashion where, you know, our guys were relishing that opportunity. You know, I just want to clarify really quick, the turnovers that Navy had, those were forced turnovers by Notre Dame. That was
right.
Not
good
Navy
point. Yeah.
It was not Navy putting the ball on the ground. That was Notre Dame taking advantage of the opportunity and knocking it out of their hands. And, I mean, that says a lot about what's going on in terms of where the program's at the moment. So, anyways, having said all that, Coffee, I mean, you and I whiffed last week. How do we redeem ourselves this week? What are you projecting?
I'm projecting 49-7.
Boston yeah, College I mean, you don't even think the Boston College, you don't even think the rivalry or anything
Boston
is going to
okay,
happen.
First of all, Boston College is not a rival. I mean, I think I hate this week on our site because I swear it's like, oh, Boston College, I hate Boston College. I don't hate Boston College. They're a bunch of numbnuts. They have nothing that we want. They are not a rival. They're another Catholic school that has a football team. That's basically what they are. And this year, it's not a very good football team. So they're going to come in. We're going to blow their doors off. It's going to be 49-7, and then go to Palo Alto, hopefully get the monkey off our backs.
All right, Ed, what do you think?
I tend to agree with the outcome, but I'll say, you know, I'll say 38-10, and I'll say 38-10. I mean, like you said, I mean, you had the right phrasing there, Brammer. You said, you know, one dimensional. You know, I think that from what I've seen and hasn't been much of BC, there's no reason why we can't, guard their ends, man to man, and do whatever we need to do in the box to make every yard a tough one for AJ Dillon. I think, you know, it's a pretty straightforward game plan. Maybe I'm wrong. I think it'd be different. I know, you know, Boston College lost their quarterback who was pretty talented earlier this year. And, you know, maybe their sub is coming around a little bit. I really haven't done a lot of looking into this, but I just think the main thing is I think it's going to be really difficult to keep Notre Dame off the scoreboard. they seem to be gaining confidence, and it's a very, 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 very average Boston College defense. So, you know, so maybe it'll be like, you know, 40-20, or maybe it'll be like 40-21, but I'm going to say 38-10. And then I think we'll see kind of more like 30-20 against Stanford.
Yeah, I think you're right. My take, interestingly, was 38-20, only because I think they'll get a garbage touchdown.
Right, kind of like Navy did.
But I do think that, yeah, I kind of think that the, you know, just because they're one-dimensional, I just don't see our coaching staff having a real problem with coming up with a game plan to counter that. And as a result of that, it's going to put Boston College in some difficult situations. But I do see, you know, especially if our offense can click and continue to improve upon the last couple of games, especially with Book and his confidence. I mean, I think he's going to relish the opportunity of facing a defense like this. And I would be incredibly surprised if we can't put up 38 points on these guys. I do think Stanford's just, I don't know, that's the one game that scares me a little bit, only because I have a lot of confidence in David Shaw. He's a guy that can kind of put together a game plan that, you know, might frustrate us. Whether he can do it for the whole four quarters, I don't know. But I do think that game will be a little bit of a struggle for us, but I do think we're going to end up winning that game as well. And, you know, hopefully head into a bowl game that kind of matters and builds upon, you know, the progress this team has made. So from that standpoint, I mean, things are absolutely looking up. Let's hope for a couple big wins here and then head into a bowl game. I'd love for it to be in Orlando because I'll obviously drive there. It's 2 hours from my house.
Right. So, Boston us there, Brammer?
You know. Yeah, exactly. I'll do some sort of tailgate. We'll do something if it's in Orlando. So hopefully that'll be the case, but I'd look forward to that for sure. All right, we'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Mike Coffey and Ed Jordanic, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.